Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A young girl goes on a run through the Middlesex Fells with her friend. They're attacked. She's abducted. 2 days later, she's found, but she doesn't remember a thing. That's the mystery at the beginning of Kim Savage's new YA novel, After the Woods. And the setting will feel very familiar to many of you. And Kim Savage joins us now to talk about the new book. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Or actually, I should say welcome back
to Radio Boston.
Is it fair for me to say that bizarrely our show sort of has a link to the genesis of After the Woods?
I think that's fair. A version of the prologue of After the Woods was the winner of the Radio Boston, or one of the Radio Boston zip code stories back in 2012.
Yeah.
And I got to read it here with Anthony Brooks.
I remember it very, very well. It was actually one of the best zip code stories that we ever received. And for people who don't remember, we used to have a contest where we would pick a zip code and then have folks write a short story about it. We would pick a winner. And yours was by far one of the best. So tell us a little bit more then about After the Woods. The premise, as I set up here at the beginning, is pretty dark. I mean, why write a book about an abduction?
Right. Well, I can tell you where it started. I was sort of revisiting a time that I remember very distinctly when I was a teenager, when friends sort of superseded everything else in importance, family, community, school. And I wondered, would a 15-year-old girl save her best friend? Would she risk her life to save her best friend? And so I created a character who would, and that became Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about its sort of inverse. I wondered, would a 15-year-old girl risk her best friend's life to save herself? What kind of things had to be going on in her life to make her do that? And that became Liv. And from there, the plot unfurled.
Yeah, I mean, those are two very very profound and complex questions. I wonder if you could actually read a little bit from the book, because, you know, this very question of would a 15-year-old girl risk her life to save her friend is exactly how the book starts off. So set up the scene that you're about to read, and go ahead and read it, please.
Sure. Well, the story is told from Julia's point of view, and each chapter is marked by the number of days that have passed since the abduction, except for the prologue, which begins in the woods. And it's the only time we really find out what happened that day, aside from some vague flashbacks that Julia has. So I'll start here. She's been my best friend since she gave me her cherry cola chapstick in the sixth grade. If I grab the scruff of his jacket and yank, I might move him a little, maybe. Just enough so Liv can roll and run. We can run. I step closer. A light flickers in his eyes. Greedy. He wants us both, but he can't hold two of us. He imagines we'll fight. Liv's eyes flit all over my face, pleading. Chapstick. I rush him. My fingertips graze his jacket as a glove clamps down on my ankle. I fall. My ankle snaps. The pain fills every space in my body. I hear someone howling. Me. I turn my head. The view is different from the forest floor. Liv rolls and scrambles to her feet. Liv is a powder blue smudge, running and falling and running until the crashing fades. The man stands over me, smiling. He has small teeth like a child. You'll do.
That's Kim Savage reading an excerpt from her new novel, After the Woods. It just, I've got the book here in front of me, that passage from the prologue, it does fill me with chills because, I mean, in part, Kim, this the story of, you know, young women being abducted, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, were there actual cases that influenced your choice of not just having a teenager getting abducted, but you know, Julia comes back.
Right. Well, you know, full confession, I'm a news junkie. In 2002, Elizabeth Smart was abducted from her home by Brian David Mitchell and held captive. Then 9 months later, she was rescued. And I think it's fair to say it was the most watched abduction story of its time. I mean, since then, we've had other high-profile rescues of abducted girls. We've had J.C. Duggard and Michelle Knight and Amanda Berry and Gina De Jesus. And these girls defied all of the statistics for abducted children. I mean, they were the girls who came back. So I wanted to know what happens to the girl who came back. You know, what happens when she tries to fit in with her old life as a junior in high school and in with her old friends? And then I wondered, how much worse would it be if the only redeeming thing about the abduction, that she saved her best friend from being abducted too, turned out to be based on a lie?
Uh-huh.
So the first line of After the Woods is, statistically speaking, girls like me don't come back when guys like Donald Jessup. So After the Woods is, it's the story of the girl who came back and then what happened after.
Right. You know, but I'm curious, though, how do you tell this story in the medium of young adult fiction? Because, you know, are there certain aspects that you can't tell anymore? But I'm, you know, even as I ask that question, I wonder if it's worth it, because YA is actually a place of some very brave fiction that's unflinching about the truth of the world. But, you know, what was there stuff in particular about the medium of YA that was good or challenging?
Right. Such a fair question. I mean, I sort of wrote my book first, and that's what it turned out to be. It turned out to be a YA book.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a Publisher's Weekly study a few years back, that said something like 55% of all YA buyers were adults over the age of 18. So I think the lines between YA and adult fiction are blurring, and I think that's sort of the space where After the Woods lives. So you've got novels like After the Woods being read by both young adults and adults that have young characters with strong voices and stories that have mature themes and subjects that require sort of serious concentration that maybe move the needle a little bit toward more literary reading tastes in some ways. But, you know, as for the dark stuff, I don't write with the intention of writing dark stuff. I just write the story that my original premise requires.
I mean, what is the dark stuff here, though? Is it the abduction, or is it sort of, you know, as you were saying earlier, the complex psychology that follows?
Yeah, you know, I you've just put your finger right on it. I think darkness is relative, isn't it? For me, the darkness in the story doesn't come from those obvious elements. I mean, yes, Donald Jessup, the abductor in my story, is a scary character. And Julia's time with him in the woods, at least what she remembers, is frightening. But I find the darkness in other places, like in the journalist who exploits the abduction story to bring down an incompetent police chief and to bolster her career. There's the lonely existence of the abductor's mother, who still misses her son every day, or the girl who uses everyone around her to break free from her life and start over. Mm. For me, those are the dark places. And it's not dark as in scary. For me, it's more of a feeling of discomfort. And that's a darkness that's attractive to me as a reader, because I want to be stretched in that way.
So let me ask you, shifting gears here a little bit. The abduction does happen in the Middlesex Fells, right?
Because
you know, now I'm thinking, oh, the next time I go over there, am I going to just keep thinking of After the Woods? I mean, so tell us about the scenes that you chose, the locations that you chose, and why the Fells to begin with.
Right. So the woods is the Middlesex Fells Reserve, and it's 2,500 acres of state park that spans five towns, and one of them is my town, and the town in After the Woods is Shiverton, and it's clearly based on Winchester. Within the Fells, I spent a lot of time in there, sort of observing the different weather and watching how the light falls during the day and feeling that sensation of being utterly alone, but also of being lost, because the Fells is unique in that almost everywhere you are, you can see the skyline of Boston, yet you can still get so incredibly lost. And I've done that, and I've spent some time doing that, and that's how I sort of tapped what it must have felt like to be Julia.
So how did you feel when you were lost in the Fells?
It's completely disorienting. And clearly I didn't have someone pursuing me like Julia did. But just that disorientation is terrifying. And it's great material.
Yeah. And so tell me, how does it feel now to have this book? And do you feel like you understand the initial question that you asked a little better? Like, you know, would a 15-year-old risk her life to save her friend and vice versa? I mean, those were pretty big questions you asked at the beginning. I'm just wondering if in the process of answering the book, you feel like you've got a handle on possible answers.
Right. What I think I came to was that there are so many different forms of bravery. And, you know, one form is external and it's sort of easy to digest. You've got Julia saving Liv by jumping on the back of Donald Jessup as he attacks her. But the second form that Liv embodies, that's turned inward, is for some reason some readers less easy to digest, for sure. But for me, I find that bravery to be just as powerful and maybe more interesting because it makes her sort of a non-traditional heroine.
Interesting. Well, can you give us a glimpse of your next project?
Oh, sure, yeah. Beautiful Broken Girls comes out in February of 2017, and it's a standalone psychological thriller, sort of with the feel of After the Woods, but it's told from a boy's point of view. It's being pitched as The Virgin Suicides meets Then Again Maybe I Won't meets 13 Reasons Why, if that makes any sense.
I'm sure it will once I see the book and when it comes out. Well, the new novel that we've been discussing is After the Woods. It's by Kim Savage. Kim, thank you so much for coming in and joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. We had help today from Adam Asher. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a peaceful, wonderful, and possibly politics-free weekend, if I can say that. And join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.